twofold purpose. Of course, to be here tonight to, as Brother Paul asked us to speak. But 47 years ago, we had our first Sovereign Grace Bible Conference in action. There was a lady and two of her friends drove over for the conference from Hampton Roads, Virginia. Her name, Burnell Firth. She was 34 years old. Member of Brother George Fletcher's church. Loved the grace of God, loved the gospel. She came over every year to our Bible conference for many, many years. She was a professional lady bookkeeper with several firms over in Hampton. And we've maintained contact all these years. She gets my tape, she gets the pastor's tapes. She loves the gospel. Met him for the first time today. But she's known him and heard his messages. She's been one of our greatest and most generous supporters of the missionary work in Mexico and Africa and other places. Very, very generous in her gifts to the missionary. Well, she'll be 82 at Prime. And she's always been independent. Business lady and put her in a rest home December the 17th. She had no husband, she had no children, she had no grandchildren. She has a sister and she blew. She is very, very blue. Brother Paul and I drove over. That's one reason I came over to go see her and see about her and see what her attitude, her surroundings and all of these things are, and wasn't too happy with where she is. And when Paul is leaving, he's working with her sister, he's talking. But she's down, and Friday's her birthday, so I tell you what, Paul, I'm sure you won't mind me doing this. And let me give you her address. Some of you ladies sent her a card. Just wish her happily second birthday. Thrill her to death. She needs this. She needs this attention.
She's the one that donated so much money to this church. We put the improvements to this building and on and on.
She's been so generous to a lot of the churches. She uses big sin things, you know, but she, and I don't know whether I mentioned her name or not.
I have.
You have. All about you. This is Burnell. But here's the name and address, Burnell, B-E-R-N-E-L-L-E, Burnell Firth, capital F-I-R-T-H, Burnell Firth. And the rest home address is 400 6th Street, this is correct, 400 6th Street, Blackstone, Virginia. That's where, if you know where that is, we drove over 40 and over that way, first time I've been there. Blackstone, Virginia. Now the zip code, I don't know. I hadn't memorized that. You don't remember either. But you can find the zip code. Their birthday's Thursday. The card gets there Saturday, and fine. Monday even. But if she got a bunch of cards from you all, I tell you, it would be a brighter day. It would, and she needs a brighter day. It's one of the situations that just Brother Paul's working on it to see what he can do. And her sister is cooperating wonderfully. They had this wonderful talk today, this afternoon, after we came back. And you know, sometimes she said this about Burnell, that the last 6 or 7 months she's just gone downhill. And she's confused. She doesn't know what she wants. She just, and I understand that. She just doesn't know what she wants. And this is the thing about not having any family. You know, family is so wonderful to have in time of old age and trouble. Families. But they cultivate that family. All right, I have a message I want to bring tonight. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. If I want you to open your Bible to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Old brother A.D. Hughes, who was born and raised in Mississippi and finished his ministry, evangelist for years, and then a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky. I met him at that first conference where I met this lady. And he died just a few months later. He was 64 then, one of our speakers. And I asked him one day, I said, Brother Hughes, what's the secret of good preaching? What's the secret of good preaching? Well, he said, I'll tell you my secret. Threefold. Number one, my subject is always the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among us save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, we preach Christ Jesus our Lord, our Savior, servants, but His Son. We preach Him. And he said, secondly, my proof, the proof of what I'm preaching about Christ is always the Word of God. He said, I don't depend on illustrations. I don't depend on what somebody else said. I don't depend on my own imagination or my own intellect. I just turn to the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. There's no season for preaching the Word. Every season is a season to preach the Word of God. And Isaiah said, if it preaches not the Word of God, it's because there's no light in it. Our Lord said, my word will not return void. So he said, that's my proof. Always I preach Christ and I prove what I'm saying by the Word of God. And he said, the third thing is this, my method. And your pastor wrote about this in the bulletin last Sunday. I just saw the article a few minutes ago. My method is to preach the Word and leave the results to the Holy Spirit. Throw out the net and the Word of God and leave it to the Spirit of God to produce results. That's right. It's not by might, it's not by power, by my Spirit, said the Lord. And Paul said this, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our method, preach. Leave it to the Spirit of God to make it effectual. My doorbell rang one day, and I went to the door, and there stood Becky Gray. You know Becky Gray. Becky Golden. She's Becky Gray. She had a young man in tow. She's dating this young man. Amy Burton. He's a member of Todd and I were at the church now. This several years ago. She had him in tow. She said, Dave wants to talk to you about his soul. I said, all right, bring him on in, Becky. So he came in, sat down in the living room, and he'd been coming to church with her. He's raised in church. And he said, I'm lost. I said, well, I'm tickled to death to hear that. He said, you are? I said, yeah, I'm just tickled to death. And he said, well, I wonder how you say. And I said, we'll sure talk about it. So we sat there on the couch and we talked, and I read the scriptures to him and prayed for him. And I said, now you just go on home, read these scriptures I've given you, I read to you already. And I said, you be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And sit and listen. And I said, you hear and learn the gospel. And he said, how long will I get saved? I said, well, how do you know you're lost? He said, God chose me. I said, well, He'll show you what He's saying. I can't save you. I didn't get you lost. And I can't save you. I said, David, I can't save you now. You believe that? Yeah, you're saved. I can't tell you to save you. But he can. I can't speak peace, but he can. And that's true. So that's what the old man meant. He said, I just leave it to God. Are you afraid to leave it to God? I'm not. It's in better hands than his hands than mine. A man's assurance. If I give him assurance, I've got to keep it up. If he gets his assurance from God, I can disappear. He's still safe. But now a lot of preachers don't agree with that. And this is what Jeremiah is writing about in Jeremiah 23. Look at the first two verses. Jeremiah 23:1. Woe unto the pastures that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastures that feed my sheep, my people. They're supposed to, but they don't. That's what he's saying here. That's what their calling is. That's what their office is. That's what their job is. But he says in the next line, they scatter my flock. And they drive them away. And they haven't visited them. They haven't taught them. They haven't fed them. They haven't ministered to my people. They've scattered them, driven them away, and they haven't ministered to them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. You know, these false preachers that Jeremiah writes about here, he writes a lot about false prophets and false preachers. Our Lord called them false prophets. He said, beware of false preachers. He said, they'll come to you as ravening wolves and sheep calling, pretending to be what they're not. Be careful of them. You'll know them by their fruits. And then Paul wrote about these false preachers, and he called them, this is a terrible thing to call a man. He called them ministers of Satan. In 2 Corinthians, you need to turn to it, I quoted, and some of you remember 2 Corinthians 11, when he said that Satan himself is turned into an angel of light. He comes in a disguise as an angel of light. And he says, and that is not surprising that his ministry come to you as ministers of righteousness. Not Christ's righteousness, man's righteousness. That's what they come to you with. So he said this, ministers of Satan. And then Peter called them false teachers. He said there were a lot of false prophets in Israel, and there will be false teachers among you who bring in damnable heresies. And this is what he said next. And many people follow their position. But I want you to see how Jeremiah describes. This is really eye-opening. I'm going to ask you to turn to these scriptures. Turn to Jeremiah 6. How he describes these false preachers who scatter my sheep, who drive them away, who do not feed my sheep. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Jeremiah 6, 13. You have it, Jeremiah 6:13. And from the least of them to the greatest of them, every one of them is given to what? Covetousness. That's what motivates them. They're covetousness. For gain, for glory, for applause. They glory in appearance. They want some credit. Covetousness. And from the prophet unto the priest, every one of them deals falsely. If you're motivated by covetousness, you're going to deal falsely. If you're motivated by the glory of God and the good of your congregation and the glory of Christ Jesus, you'll deal honestly. If you're motivated by covetousness, you'll deal falsely. Now look at the next verse, 14, how he, what he says about it. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. I was watching television last Saturday evening. That preacher was on there, and I thought, I just think I'll see what he said. How he closes his message right to the end. He came to the end. He said, now I want you to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. He bowed his head, and he prayed a prayer. And then when he got through, he said, amen. Now he said, if you pray that prayer with me, listen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You're saved. How can you tell a man he's saved just because he repeated some words that you said? I thought salvation was of the Lord. Salvation was God bringing life and raising the dead and revealing Christ and bringing the man and woman peace. But that peace, peace when there is no peace. The only man that will tell a lost man that he's saved is another lost man. Zechariah, the only person that will tell a person, you're saved, is a man that's not saved in death, because he doesn't know what it is. Or he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. All right, here's another verse about him. Turn to Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah has a lot to say about these false preachers. We need to listen to them because we're surrounded with them in this day. In Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13, they deny that God will punish sinners. They deny that God will punish sinners. This is what they say, Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets, they say unto them, you not see the sower, neither shall you have famine, but I'll give you assured peace in this place. You don't have to worry. God's not going to deal with you. God's not going to punish you. God's not going to send famine. Don't worry about it. Eat. Listen. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesied you a false vision, and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their hearts. Therefore saith the Lord concerning these prophets that prophesied in my name, I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. The fact that Christ died on the cross is proof God punished sin. There's no greater proof in this world that God punished sin than he spared not his own son, who had no sin but bore our sins. God punished sin. He must if he's God. And he will, and he does. But he forgives sin too. He's mercifully delights to show mercy. He delights to save sinners. He delights to save those who come to him in Christ. Christ being their sin offering. Our sin debt is paid. God didn't forgive us our sins without a sacrifice. He forgives us because Christ paid the debt. That is canceled. Now turn to Jeremiah 23. This is my text where we were about to go. We'll get back to our text. Something else he said, Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Now here's the difference in a true preacher and a false preacher. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus says the Lord, if you ever heard preachers on television come and say now, about 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up, couldn't sleep, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said this, I had a vision. I saw the Lord. He spoke. You ever hear that? Of course you do. Well, listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not the mouth of God. They talk about what they thought, what they dreamed, what they saw, what they heard. Listen, look at verse 28. Verse 20, same chapter, Jeremiah 23. The prophet that hath a dream, did he have a dream last night? Well, let him tell his dream. But he that hath my word, I didn't have a dream, but I got the word of God. And he speak my word. Which one do you want to hear? You want to hear my dream, or you want to hear the word of God? If he has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that hath my word, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? That's what the dream God chaff. The word of God is the wheat. Read the next verse. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and burns the chaff, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, crushes the stony heart. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets that steal, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone. Verse 32, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, their frivolity and blindness. I sent them not, I commanded them not. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Isn't that something? And we thought that we had a bunch of them today. Jeremiah says they just fled the land, covetous men, using religion to promote themselves. Well, let's get to some good news now. Back to the text, chapter 23. The first two verses talk about these false preachers. But then the Lord says in verse 3, but I will gather the remnant of my flock. The Lord says, I'll gather my flock. He has a flock. He has a sheep. Where did he get it? All that my Father giveth me come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will not cast out. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. My Father gave them to me. He's greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Our Lord hath a flock. And he said, I will gather my flock. You just hold that up there a minute. Let me turn. I'll turn over here to the first scripture I showed Hannah a while ago and told her to read. Listen as I read it to you. And let me check, make sure. Yeah, here it is. Listen to this. The Lord of hosts has sworn, surely, as I have sought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who's going to disannul it? His hand is stretched out, who's going to turn it back? I love that. Isn't that a question? Isaiah 14, 23, verse 6. I purpose it. I've declared it. I will bring my flock. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold in my flock. And they shall. Don't you love shall and will? I will. I shall. They shall. That's not that might, maybe, perhaps. They shall hear my voice. That's the word of God. Oh, I have a flock. Look at the next line. I will gather the remnant. 23 verse 3, out of all the countries, he has a people that have tried to kill me. Brother Todd Knight, where is he tonight? Well, one where Todd is tonight. He's always somewhere. He's down in St. Croix. St. Croix in Virgin Islands. There's some sheep down there. There's some sheep in St. Thomas, St. Lucia, Tortola, Dominican Republic, Mexico, and Africa, and all of this country. Out of all the countries, he said, we'll gather my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them. They verify my providence, my purpose. And I know where they are, I know the addresses, and I know how to reach them, and I'll send them a preacher. And they'll hear my voice. And they'll come. And I'll give them my. I will. I shall. The Lord God has spoken and he's saying it. Nobody's going to disannul it. That's changed. That's right. Listen, read on. And I'll bring them to the fold. I'll bring them to the fold, and they shall be fruitful. Well, I like that. What is this fruit business? Well, I want you to turn to John 15. John chapter 15. He said, now this is I will, I shall business. He said, I will gather my flock out of the country. I will bring them again, and they shall be fruitful. Not that all of it. They do. And here's the fruit, John 15. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit itself. You ever heard of the branch bearing fruit? No, you got a vine. The branch is part of the vine. And the fruit is from the vine. It's the fruit of the vine. And the branch just bears it because of the vine gives it the nourishment to bear. And he said that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So the fruit is his fruit, but we bear it by his grace. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much. Not really. You will. They'll be fruit. Yes, they will. And if they want you, you burn them. He said, the branch doesn't bear any fruit. you lop it off and cast it into the fire. What is the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the vine. The fruit of Christ. Love. Joy. Peace. Faith. Patience. Meekness. Forgiving spirit. Generosity. Kindness. That's the fruit. And they're going to be fruitful. Yes, sir. You just know they're going to be fruitful because he said so. They shall be. And they'll increase. Look back at Jeremiah 23. He said, I'll gather the flock. I'll bring them to the fold. There'll be one fold, one shepherd. And they'll be fruitful. And they'll increase. And watch this one. I'll set shepherds over them. I'll set up shepherds. I will do it, he said. Paul told Timothy, said, you fellows go into all these cities, preach the gospel and ordain elders, and deacons, and churches. And that's what we preachers do. But only God can make a shepherd. Only God. A pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, teacher, is a shepherd. And our Lord, when he ascended back to heaven, he that ascended is the same that descended. And when he ascended, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some missionaries, evangelists, some pastors, teachers. And he set up over his flock. That's what Scripture says. I set up shepherds over them who will feed them. Yes, sir. That'd be, I want you to turn to Ephesians 4. Let me read something. I was trying to quote, I couldn't remember all of that, those verses. Ephesians 4, verse 11. This is what I was quoting. And watch this now. He said, I'm going to put some shepherds over my flock. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, missionaries, and some pastors and teachers. That's the same person, pastor, teacher. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, to all the sheep, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that would be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth in love, the truth of God, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head of Christ. We may grow up. He sends us shepherds. You have one here. And they have another church where the gospel is preached. And these men are faithful to teach the word of God. The people of God might be mature and grow up and not be blown away with everybody that comes along, you know, setting his dream for his vision. So he says, I'm going to send them shepherds. Oh, what good news. Verse 4, let's go back to the text. Jeremiah 23. I'll set up shepherds over them. They have the rule, spiritual, don't rule people's lives, homes. They're overseeing the church. And they'll feed them. And listen, and they'll fear no more. What is this fear? Well, over here in Hebrews 2, it's fear of death. It's fear of eternity. It's fear of judgment. It's fear of what's ahead. And the only way for that to be banished is the knowledge of Christ and His Word. Grow in that knowledge, Christ in the Word. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Here's what it says. They shall fear no more. Fear no more. In Hebrews 2, 14. For as much then as the church, Hebrews 2, 14, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Deliver his children, who through fear of death for all their lifetime suffered. They didn't have any hope to meet Christ. They didn't have any hope of eternal life until they heard the word. They didn't have any hope of the glory to come until they heard the gospel. Until they heard the gospel. And when they hear it again, they're delivered from the fear of death. They don't fear it anymore. There is no judgment for them who are in Christ. How do you know that? That's what the Word teaches. That's the Word of God says. I have a blessing of it. Yeah. All right, watch this in that next line. He said, they'll fear no more and they won't be dismayed. I looked up that word dismayed. It means bewildered, confused. And they're not going to be dismayed. They're not going to fear death. Fear eternity, fear judgment, will be confused and dismayed. I'm going to give you a scripture now to put on your refrigerator. You're able to do that like some of us do, something, just stick it on a refrigerator or a cabinet or somewhere where you read. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. They won't be confused and dismayed and depressed. Listen. Dismayed, especially. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. Read it with me slowly. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you will perish. I don't do this. And listen, here's another word I've got to give you in Jeremiah 23:4. I've set up, I'm going to gather my flock. I'm going to bring them to the fold. They're going to be fruitful and increase. I'll set up pastures over them who will feed them. And they'll fear no more. They won't be dismayed. And they won't be lacking. Not in anything. Not lacking. Two verses. He has, by His grace, made us qualified, fit, meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. We're already second scripture. But my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ. Nothing won't be lacking. Even the least of them are not lacking. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him you're what? Complete. Now, I'm not an English scholar, but I know what complete means. You don't have to have any of that. It's complete. All right, verse 5. Now, here, how can these things be? Well, here's the answer in these next two verses. Here's the one and only the gospel. Here's the good news from the far country. You heard about good news from the far country. Here it is. Here's the sum and substance of redemption. Here's the answer to the two most important questions that can be asked. What are the two most important questions that can be asked by sinners? I say, what the other? Number one, how can he be clean as far as the water? And that number one, how can he be clean as far as the water? And the second one, I look to the sky. How can he be just and justify us? Well, when you answer those two, that's the gospel. How can he be clean as far as the water? How can he be just and justify us? Here's the answer. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I raise up unto David a righteous brother. What day is this? The day's coming. I tell you what day it is. It's the day to which every prophecy, starting at Genesis 3:15, seed of woman, every prophecy, every picture in the Old Testament, every type, Paul. It's that day that Abraham saw. Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and rejoiced. It's that day of which the angels spoke when they appeared to the shepherds and said, this day is born unto you in the city of David, a
say, that's the day. And that's where God said, I'll raise him up. I'll raise him up. I'll prepare him a body. And you know something? If you ever ask yourself this question, he said he's going to be, I'll raise up unto David, the seed of David, the root of Jesse, the family of David. And you ever ask yourself, what was Mary and Joseph doing way up there in Bethlehem when she was 9 months pregnant? Now, what in the world possessed them? They lived in Nazareth, miles and miles. What possessed him to put his wife on a donkey and her 9 months pregnant and make her ride all the way to Bethlehem? Because that's where Christ had to be born. That's where the scripture said, thou Bethlehem, if Ephrathah, thou middle among the thousands of Judah, but out of thee shall he come, whose goings forth have been from of old, everlasting. Well, what did they go there for? They went there to be taxed. A heathen king who didn't know anything about scripture, of the house of David, or anything else, ordained and decreed that everybody goes to his home city to be taxed. Let's read that in Luke 2. The message came to Joseph down in Nazareth that he's got to go to Bethlehem and be taxed. Because that's his city. He's the city of David. That's the city of David. 12 tribes, and each tribe had to go to their own city, no matter where it was. At that particular time, that's what that king said. And God used his king. I said, the heart of the king and the hand of the Lord, he turned it whithersoever he will. Read this in Luke 2. It came to pass in those days, and went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made. Was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house of David. Who's the Messiah? Caesar. Who's the Messiah? The root of Jesse. Who's the Messiah? The son of David. Got to be born in Bethlehem. That's right. That's right. So that little king, heathen king, said, tax all these Jews. It was done for one purpose. Take David and Joseph. Christ must be born right there in that place. God said, I'll raise him up. And the seed of David, read on. He'll be a righteous branch. A righteous branch. A branch of David. He'll grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. A righteous branch. Our Lord's the only righteous branch. We're righteous, but he's the only righteous branch with righteousness in himself, and of himself, and from himself. Did you know even the demons of hell call him the Holy One? Let me show you that in Scripture. Turn, if you will, to Luke 4. Even the demons. You know, a lot of people in this day don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, but the demons do. They know he is. Let me read you this in Luke chapter 4, verse 34. Luke 4, 34. We'll read verse Luke 4, 33. 34. Luke 4, 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's never been. No man's ever been called that except Christ, the Holy One. That's who you are. I know who you are. You're not just a man, you're a gospel. Turn to the next page, verse. Same chapter, verse 41, Luke 4, 41. And devils came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. You know, that's what the apostles said when Christ told them they're saved. They had a heart knowledge, and these demons had nothing to do with it. but they knew who he was. He was in the world knew him not, but the devil did. He came in his own, they received him not, but the devil knew who he was. And we know who he is by his grace. Peter says, I am Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what these demons said. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak. They knew he was the Christ. But his gospel is not going to be preached by devils. It's going to be preached by people who know him and love him. It's not going to be declared worldwide by the demons out of heaven, but by God's people. So we keep quiet. Keep quiet. Our back to the text. You raise up a righteous branch, Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Righteous man, a king, shall execute judgment. He's the king. I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. He reigns on the same throne as the Father. He's a king. He'll reign and prosper. And the pressure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And he'll execute judgment and justice on this earth. Judgment and justice. Took our sin in his body on the tree, paid for it, and enabled God to be just and justified. And listen to this. So in his days, in the day of the revelation of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, and the death of Christ, Jeremiah 23:6, in his days, Judah shall be saved. Shall be saved. Who is Judah? Well, Judah is all of true Israel. That's a true Israel. He's not an Israelite, which is one in the flesh, but he's a Jew, which is one in spirit and heart. Circumcision is not an outward rite, it's an inward experience. And the operation of God in the heart. So I'm a Jew, you're a Jew. I'm an Israelite, you're an Israelite. All Israel shall be saved. That's what he's saying here. In his day, Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely. Always. He that hath begun a good work will finish. Exactly. I know your pastor's taught you that many times. We need to reteach these things. That we are Israel. It's not those people over there fighting over the Holy Land. But true Israel are believers. They're the people of God. And they're always saved. Now watch this. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called. I want to give you this in the next 2 or 3 minutes. I want you to listen. Number one, he's called the Lord. The Lord. No other name. No other Lord. He's the Lord Jehovah, God himself. In Isaiah 45, 6 times, Isaiah 45, he said, come to me and be ye saved. Look to me and be ye saved. I'm God and none else. 6 times he says, I'm God, and none else. 6 times. I'm God, and none other. So he's the Lord. Not a Lord. He's the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. See that? And he's our righteousness. What does that mean? Well, this man, God man, was made of a woman. And in human flesh, he stood on this earth. Before God the Father, as holy and as perfect as God himself. He said to the Father, I have glorified you on this earth. Therefore you glorify me with the glory which I had in you before the world was. Perfect man. Now what? Second. And he was tried and tested. Now he's not just a perfect man not having been tried. He's a man who has been tried. He has been tried and tested in all points as we are, by Satan, by men, by God. Without sin. He's righteous and he's tried righteous. He's a stone, but he's a tried stone. Not only that, after all that, he literally took all the sins of all the elect in his body on the tree, bore them to Calvary, and there he walked the line press of God's wrath all alone without a word of protest, and paid the utmost payment. He's the Lord, our righteousness, by by testing obedience out of righteousness, and by death and blood out of righteousness. And here's the third word, the law, righteousness, ours. Now this is the most amazing thing of all of this. The life of Christ in his holiness constitutes the holiness and righteousness in which we stand right now before God, accepted, clothed, and rewarded as if we did it ourselves. Is that correct? That righteousness is yours so strongly in Christ, is as if God views it as if he did it himself. And I can prove that now in the book of Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 15. Now here's almost the same wording that I read a while ago in Jeremiah 33. See if you note the difference. There's one line, one word is different. Now, verse 15, Jeremiah 33. In those days, at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Now, we read that. And in those days shall Judah be saved. I read that. Jerusalem shall dwell safely. I read that. And this is the name wherewith she, whoa, that's different. It said he in that other verse, didn't it? That other verse said, he shall be called. His name shall be the Lord our righteousness. Here says she. Who's she? It's the church. It's the Lamb's bride. It's Jehovah's wife. It's called she. You mean I talked about that yesterday, Ephesians 5. Husband, brother, your wives is Christ of the church. His wife, his bride. He gave himself for it. And you know something? He is the Lord our righteousness. And what he did, and what he paid, and what he gave is ours. We're rewarded as if we did it ourselves, because that's our name too. Lord, our righteousness. And that's the reason when a man marries a woman, she takes his name. There's a couple more. I'm hearing from young people now that they get married and they keep their own name. I hear from one family, Bob so-and-so and Susan so-and-so. And they got different names, but they're husband and wife. That's wrong. See, when we marry, we're not just two different people going two different ways and two different careers and two different friends and two different churches and two different religions. We're one! And what's mine is hers, what's hers is mine. And what I am, she is. He bears my name. She's got your name. I take my bridegroom's name unto the Lord. He says, that's our name. That's the one in Christ. That's just so beautiful. I hope it's blessed. Thank you. Thank you.
Put that Isaiah 41:10 on your refrigerator, and then put Jeremiah 23:6 right by your front door.
You know I'm talking about that.
The next time two people come to your door, talking about your home. Thank you. Read the first two verses.